Are they $9,000?
Yeah. Okay. That'd be cool if someone wants to get us one.
If you're a rich fan of science fiction and humor,
if you're a rich fan
and you got a lot of money and you want to buy us a hair mic,
you can send it to a P.O. Box, honey.
You can send it to a P.O. Box, honey. This is good. That's where we got to start, I think.
Yeah.
That's where we start and where we get into the business.
Oh, the business.
You ready for the business?
I'm ready for the business.
Oh, boy, we're going to give it to him.
You got business?
Welcome back to Lizard People, the show where we got the business. I'm so excited to talk with today's guest, my good friend and a friend of the show.
Oh?
I'd say you've been on twice.
Third time, right?
Third time's the charm.
Oh, boy.
Dave's driven me absolutely... Oh, it's Dave Child. Dave Child's here.
Hi, everybody. Hi.
So it's such a treat to have you. Dancer, comedian, writer, show creator.
Sure.
Friend.
Aw.
Too many.
I like it.
Not everyone, though. You're a little selective.
No, I got enemies.
You got a lot of enemies.
You gotta have enemies if you're living in the world.
Yeah, so true. If you're living right, you're gonna make some
If you're
enemies.
Living right... There are some people you've done wrong.
Put that on a t-shirt, baby.
That's my new belly tattoo. You just wait.
Tickfoo with all your other belly tattoos.
I have so many belly tattoos.
Yeah, it's an addiction. Dave, on other episodes of this podcast,
yes.
You've kind of gone hard into a personal theory of yours.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, it's the owlbear.
Right, the owlbear.
Yeah, but...
We're here to not talk about owlbears, to be blunt.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about the Men in Black.
Yeah.
So.
Perfect.
Okay.
Great. And we've never done like a thorough Men in Black episode, so this is
Yeah,
perfect.
This is like, as I said before, the mics were hot.
Mm-hmm.
This is, what's odd about the Men in Black is there's a bunch of anecdotes. They're footnotes to history.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to be covering, every time I look into them, there's literally... Another story. I don't know. Didn't hate it to use the word literally there, but I regretted it as soon as I said it. There's a lot of stories,
uh-huh.
And there's better ones that keep popping up and popping up. So I'll talk about the ones I know, the little bit of facts I know,
mm-hmm.
and the theories around them.
Yeah.
And that's what we're gonna get into. Like, who are the Men in Black? And, like, where are they from? And here's some interesting stories about them.
Okay, fair enough. And then at the end of it, I'm going to tell you whether I think they're real or merely a fiction.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I got a question, though, which you can totally edit out. Because this is kind of derails from the Men in Black stuff. But I'm curious about this.
Yeah.
When did you start this podcast? Three and a couple months years ago.
Yeah.
So... In that time, what's it like to have a conspiracy podcast where now we live in a world where the president believes in conspiracies and they're so entirely mainstream?
It's been weird because when there was, I think there's been a shift in the podcast, to be totally honest, because when we started... it was very light and sort of wacky and like, what a silly fringe thing that only a few people believe. This will always remain a tiny niche.
Right.
We recorded an episode, I think the night after or two nights after the 2016 election, which was a lot of Trump's campaign was predicated on conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Alex Jones was like, this is my guy. And he was like, I'm Alex Jones's guy.
And like things... Very clearly have filtered up from Alex Jones to Fox to the president of the United States.
Right.
To everybody who faithfully believes in what he says. And it's been very weird and things have gotten darker. And I think we used to maybe even cover some darker conspiracy theories. And now I like the light stuff because it gets too sad,
bubbly. Okay, I was just wondering because there is a sense of... Because we are about to talk about these, like, dark government shadowy figures. And I was thinking a lot about how it pertains to how someone views the government or how they view something. And I think there's actually a direct link, which we'll talk about a little later. But it just made me wonder, like, how this podcast has evolved. Because it is fun and light and bubbly, but there's so many... It's just...
The dark stuff is unavoidable, yeah, and we there. Do have to address it. But it doesn't mean you have to get dragged down by being like, oh, no, the world's on fire. People don't care to know the truth. They'd rather believe their comforting fantasies. We can also have fun and address that
I
elephant.
I think the other weird thing is that conspiracy theories are becoming more normal to believe. And so right. have you, I don't know if you've had it, but where I've been like, oh, yeah, I also produce a show on conspiracy theories. And you see them go, oh, and it's like, oh, no, you believe them. It's not like that kind of show. Like, yeah. you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that's a weird, like, oh, how interesting. Have you guys covered this? And like, I'm super, and I'm like, yeah.
But also it's a world where some conspiracy theories have a bit of truth to them.
Yeah.
Like, there was a really good, not to like, well, have you heard of This American Life? But there's a really good.
Tell me more, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. We're at the age now where people have stopped listening to This American Life. They've gone full circle where everyone knows about This American Life. They've gotten a little sick of the three songs that they play. And they've stopped listening to it.
And the loose episode organization where yeah. it's like, this week, memory.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I guess.
I still listen to it. And occasionally and recently, they've had, I don't know if they have a new producer or something, but they've had some really good episodes and stuff that I'm interested in. Like, there's one that just talks about Alex Jones. Just talks about his past, what he says his origin was, and John Ronson's a big part of it. And John Ronson's
my God,
favorite.
He's the best.
And last time when I talked about Bohemian Grove, it was because I also listened to the John Ronson where he went to the Bohemian Grove, and I didn't realize at the time the guy Alex he went to the Bohemian Grove with was Alex Jones. So he worked with Alex Jones before Alex Jones became Alex Jones.
I never put that together.
Yeah. So he ends up like diving into Alex Jones' past and then revisiting him and talking to him directly about like, hey, is this true? Is this true? Is this true?
Oh, dude.
And it's like, it's a really good episode. It's like something about the Jabberwocky. That's what the name of the episode is. But also recently, there's a new one that I'm in the middle of where they're talking about conspiracy theories and how... And what it's like to have a president who's talking about conspiracy theories all the time. But also they're talking about like some protesters that every protester has gotten shot or killed and how that might be an actual thing or it might just be the fact that they live in a very dangerous inner city and at the same time. But a lot of people, when they're talking to them, the people that they're talking who know these activists aren't people that are like, oh, yeah, definitely, you know, moon landing stuff. A lot of them are just like, I don't know. At this point, especially if you look at how the government has treated minorities, some of those conspiracy theories are right.
A thing I have been talking about a lot lately is the anti-vax conspiracy. Mm-hmm. Because while it is 100% not true that vaccines give you autism, there's literally no research to support it. There's this like emotional core of truth to it. Because a lot of people who are refusing to vaccinate their kids are women, and women are like historically very marginalized by this empirical Western system of medicine, and they're told their pain doesn't matter, they're told they're stupid for not understanding,
and also if you go
and they're misdiagnosed and then made to feel wrong and bad for not fighting it, and so they start to fight the medical establishment, and it's like, I kind of get it,
right? And it gets worse than that too. I almost talked over you when we were talking about women issues. But if you visit the Pharmaceutical Museum in New Orleans, which I recommend anyone doing, they talk about how there was a cure for hysteria. Hysteria was like any female PMS problems. Yeah. Anything
like that it was like, depression, but it was also like she's uppity.
Yeah,
like, she's a problem.
She keeps yelling at me.
Yeah.
So use this and it'll help. And it was like it was heroin and mercury. It was like it was like the worst things you could put. It's basically doping all these women so that they become very sedate. And that was real. And that was real medicine for real women. And it was
like 80 years ago.
You said that in a way that I was like, yes.
Real medicine for real women.
For real women.
Try Harold.
Try opium-soaked tampons.
Honestly, Sounds lovely.
Sounds like a weekend.
If I could get my hands on an opium soap tampon, you know I'd do it.
Oh, sounds like a girl's diet.
Ooh, honey. We're all just sleeping. Bachelorette party, baby. Just weird dreams.
Dun, 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 dun. So, and also, that is how the vibrator was.
I was going to say, the vibrator started that way, yeah. Which is cool.
To treat hysteria.
But isn't that kind of also a bummer? Because it's like this thing that it just... for pleasure was started as a way to just get women to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, but what I kind of like about the flip side of that is there was definitely a point where women were just like, oh yeah, we definitely need this treatment.
Oops, I missed hysterical.
You know what? I'm going to freak out if I don't get something.
Oh, it really is. Like, I really should focus on this. It'll be really great if I do this.
Yeah.
So anyway,
conspiracy theories are interesting. I think we should keep that in. Sorry for the tangent.
Yeah,
folks.
It's a bit of a tangent, but now we're going to talk about some spooky doings.
Here come the guys in suits.
Okay, so let's start off.
Okay.
Talking about Men in Black. What is it you think of when you think of Men in Black?
First thing I think of Will freaking Smith, big baby,
Willie,
doing big jokes and having a fun time.
Tommy Lee Jones shooting it up, being wacky.
Oh, boy.
You'd be surprised. If you bring up Men in Black to some lay people...
Well,
they
lame.
Think
lame people.
Lame people.
Good joke, Alex.
They're. I'm so glad you have a mic for this one. So good. They think
Roasted.
That Hollywood created the Men in Black. They think they come directly from the movie. The movie was created, and people know about Men in Black was just created by Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
First, not true. First, it was a comic book first, in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But also, the comic book. Is coming from this original, the people that showed up after paranormal events happened. They would show up to people's house. They would urge people to, like, don't tell anyone, don't do this. And occasionally, this was even taken into the Men in Black movies, they had flashing flashlights and cameras that they would blink in their faces, and then they would get disoriented afterwards.
So it wasn't like it's a magical memory device. It was just I'm confused.
It could be. I mean, maybe they just remember, oh, there was a guy in my house, and he had a flash, and I don't know what it was. So, you know, that's they're building off of real mythology, real, like, things that have happened. But the original...
Things that people said happened, for
people,
sure.
Yes.
For
sure. But in 1947,
sure,
this is the first. Let's get into it.
Good year.
We're gonna have the Harold Dahl.
I guess World War II was still kind of creaking to a finish. Never mind.
Yeah,
good year for me.
You weren't born yet.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
so I didn't have to be alive in this hellscape of a world.
Not even being thought of.
That was the best.
Or maybe you were someone at the time, and then you got reincarnated.
Oh.
How about that?
When I was a little kid, I very firmly believed in past lives.
What do you think your past life was?
Another
tangent. Here it comes.
A lot of peasant shit. But I was not. I also had pretty low self-esteem, so I was never like.
I feel like you in your past life, you're always some sort of like royalty
princess or what? No, I
Cleopatra.
Didn't think I was a prince. No, I knew. I knew my place.
Okay.
Anyway, I had a happy childhood. Go on.
1947. Back to Caitlin's childhood in 1947. There was the Harold Dodd sightings, which were just some like donut-shaped like UFOs in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
After it happened, some government officials or people dressed in black showed up and said, hey, don't you tell anyone about this. And then they went away.
How do we know about it? Did he write
talked
about it?
This. Okay. Yeah, he talked about this.
Harold.
And a couple of other UFOologists. So this started a series. That's like the first known like kind of like Men in Black kind of showing up.
Mm-hmm.
But then after that, they kind of show up in other things. The first time it gets weird is with Bender.
Oh, Bender.
Bender was...
Futurama?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's where this comes
from. His name was Albert Bender, and he was a real great guy.
Strange young man.
He was really investigating. He dived into like UFO stuff, some magic stuff, like a ton of things. And then he decided to kind of quit being a UFOologist for a while. And he says the reason why is because he got scared by the Men in Black. Now, his Men in Black are much different than the Men in Black that we think of when we think of Men in Black. We just think of either Big Willie or we think of some shady government official.
We think it's Scully and Mulder, kind of.
Well, or more the people that Scully and Mulder always fought.
Right, the cigarette-smoking man.
Cigarette-smoking man. The guys that would show up and be like, don't tell anyone about this. We're trying to cover this up. Mum's the word. Bye-bye.
A fun fact about Albert is that well into his 30s, he lived in a house with his stepfather in a room decorated with skulls and spooky hangings.
One of my favorite things from reading about Albert was, I think the website I was on basically said, like, you know, so he was primed for a psychic attack because it was him and his father. And this was the website's words, not mine. And a house without women is unbalanced.
Wow.
Ready for a psychic attack.
If Terry Crews over here saying you can't have two men raising a baby or whatever.
You can't. Well, when you have two men, it needs to be balanced. Well, I could say, like, if there's too many guys, then I think a psychic attack would be easier than, like, to be truthful. Because guys, they don't have as much... There, you know, if you want to do the stereotype of men, there's not as much like empathy or thinking or intellectual kind of side of it. If you want to look at the stereotype of men. So when a psychic attack happens, there's not a lot of like guards up. While women have to have a lot of psychic guards up because they're constantly trying to be manipulated all the time.
Okay. So we live in a world where hostile forces are always at issue. Men live in a world where their guard is down. Well, yeah. They're cock of the walk.
From manipulative psychic attacks, yes. Well, like, I think you always get the, like, I think women more get the, like, excuse me, you were a bit loud, or, you know, you know, they get more of, like, that manipulation.
You'd have a thick skull.
Yeah. So.
Smaller brain, though.
Yeah, of course.
Much smaller brain.
Oh, he got those little delicate brains.
You got to make room for them boobs.
Boobs and bows.
Yeah.
Boobs and bows.
Boobs and bows, baby.
Boobs and bows and boys. Anyways, so his Men in Black, when they showed up, first there was a smell of sulfur. Mm-hmm. And there was a smell of, like, brimstone, which tends to happen around like spooky doings in general.
Yeah, people really kind of mush that in with the other spooky doings.
Yeah, it's not just like it happens with alien like encounters too.
You think it's nervous diarrhea?
Oh,
you think it's just like
the aliens are nervous,
or just that person farted?
Yeah,
it's like I didn't fart. It was just an alien presence that was in here.
What if all of these are hallucinations because of cracks in the earth giving off of vapors that make people crazy in their brains?
I mean, it could also be gas leaks, too. It could be all those things that have actually... If we want to look at, like, all the reasons, yes. But in this case, they showed up. They floated. There was a man sitting on his bed, but then there was also three men. They usually come in pairs of twos or threes. Mm-hmm. And they were floating... like a couple feet off the ground, and they looked at him, and they were wearing black suits, black hats, and they had big glowing eyes.
Yeesh.
Now, for some reason, this is the only time that we really see the Men in Black in that form.
Supernatural, spooky, ghosty.
Well, we do see them in a weird supernatural thing that happens later. What always tends to happen when the Men in Black show up, when there's something spooky that has happened, and the Men in Black show up, they're not just guys in suits that are trying to be like, hey, let's shut this up. They're kind of weird. Like, there's a weirdness about them that is really hard to explain, except for they usually have weirdly, like, translucent or oddly colored skin is how it's described.
Yeah, I've heard, like, too pale or, like, inhumanly colored.
Yeah, or kind of greenish or kind of, like, olive-ish, you know?
I bet they're Italians.
A bunch of Italians.
Olive hued.
Showing up in those Italians.
They making me so mad.
Oh, that meatball is that. And they're also like, they have a pointedness to their face. Some of them, they have a real like rigid pointedness. They don't feel like they fit into their skin. Mm-hmm. And they also don't quite know how to move or interact like a human. Mm-hmm. Like it's almost like someone pretending to be human. Pretending to kind of know what a human does.
You think it's three dogs stacked wearing a human Italian suit?
Potentially. Potentially.
Really, that's what I was talking about. Thank you. That's really interesting.
I have a couple of theories about what these people are. I'm going to save them for the end. Okay. But like, there's, I got like a few good theories about.
Was that one of them? Did I blow it?
Yeah, I mean, Three doggies? You're getting close. You're getting close. Yeah. Let's just say you're getting close.
Let me ask you this. In these sightings, when these people sort of talk to the person who is being visited, do they sound like?
No, no.
Okay.
They don't bark.
They that talk might like, take out the dog hypothesis.
They talk like humans, but there is some weirdness. Like, okay, so one of them happens to Dr. Herbert. He wants, do you know about the story?
No.
Okay, so Dr. Herbert, he saw some UFOs. And so most of these, I'm going to kind of skim over the actual UFO aspect of it because I'm not talking about that.
That's okay.
He sees some UFOs. And then he gets a visit from some men in black. I think it was like two or three of them. And this guy, and they come in and they're kind of walking all herky jerky and kind of like not understanding. And they have a talk with him. And at one point he says, "You have two coins in your pocket." And he was like, "Yeah, I guess I do have two coins in my pocket." He's like, "Take one of them out." Oh. And he takes out one of the coins. And then the men in black holds the coin. This is a real incident. Holds the coin and goes, "Watch this," and then proceeds to vibrate the coin.
Okay.
Until it totally disappears. and he's like, "Do you know where that coin is?" And he's like, "I don't know where the coin is." He's like, "The coin is not on this plane anymore." And then he said, "Do you know about what is that couple? That famous couple that had the." That had the UFO sighting. Someone got spooked.
Maude is freaked out. She just zoomed across.
She did not like that voice you did.
Is it because she pooped and then she had to run away from it?
For sure.
I love it when cats do that.
Oh, I gotta get away from the like, okay, so what is that? There's a famous couple that like they saw a UFO and then got abducted, I believe. Anyways,
I think I know who you're talking about.
Harold or something. It's Harold, like
Maude. Yeah, my cat.
It's Harold. It's not Harold and Maude. That's a movie.
Dave, are you sure that it's not Harold and Maude?
It could be Harold. Let's say it's Harold and Maude. Nice. Okay, so do you know what? I think it's like. Even I want to say Harold Lloyd, but that's just a classic movie star.
Might be.
So he's like, "Do you know what happened to Harold Lloyd?" I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
"Do you know what happened to Harold Lloyd?" And he's like, "Well, he just died a couple months ago." He's like, "Yes. He doesn't have a heart anymore. What happened to this coin happened to his heart."
Barney and Betty Hill.
Barney and Betty Hill. Thank you so much.
What did you
so
Google
much.
To find that?
Nothing. Couple. Famous alien abduction couple.
Yes.
I Googled original UFO couple, and Barney and Betty Hill were also Barney the first.
You know what? You know what's interesting about them? Oh. It's a mixed race couple.
How
Barney
romantic.
Is, I believe, black, and Betty's white.
And they have the same names as the Flintstones.
I know, right? Isn't that weird?
Barney
and Betty?
Yeah.
I wonder if it came...
The Rebels?
Yeah.
Rebels.
Yeah, the Rebels. Anyways, the Rebels. So Barney Hill had just died after that point, but he also died of a brain aneurysm, or that's what we think he died of.
Did they do an autopsy and find he had no heart?
And if they found out he has no heart, it's like, we got to cover this up. We got to say something about this. Anyways, it was a weird threat by this magic man.
Okay.
And, but
oh, that was a threat. That was a threat. Don't talk about it.
Oh, it's basically like, don't, if you don't talk about the UFOs you saw or what just happened could happen to you.
Okay.
They end up talking about it anyways, and nothing really happens.
Okay.
But another, this is my favorite occurrence of the Men in Black, though. This happened around 1966. And this is according to an interview John Keel had with a person who witnessed some UFO occurrences, and I think Ohio. And she said, "Hey, is there a history of people showing up after like and telling you not to talk?" And John Keel was like, "Yeah, like I've had my dealings." He's had a ton of dealings with. He writes about it a lot, including the stuff about Mothman. Like Mothman, he ended up a lot of the. Mm-hmm. Men in Black showed up during the Mothman stuff.
He wrote that Mothman book?
Yeah.
Mothman, previously discussed on this very podcast.
Yep. It's a good visit.
Yeah.
Listen to that episode with me. And anyways, he's talking to this woman and she's like, "Yeah, okay, so this happened with these guys that showed up. And they showed up about 6 months after the UFO incident. Oh. And they were telling me not to talk, but they were interviewing me about what I saw. And then about halfway through, this guy's like, "Ooh, my stomach." This is my Mothman voice. This is my Mothman voice. The Men in Black voice. "Ooh, my stomach is just, it doesn't feel good." And he's like, "Oh, do you want anything to eat? Do you want any food?" It's like, "No." And then leaves. Oh. And then he comes back the next day to do some more interviews. Oh. And he's like, "Oh, my stomach still doesn't feel good." And so she's like, "Well, do you want some Jell-O? I have some Jell-O." And apparently he looked at this Jell-O and did not understand what he was looking at. He looked at the Jell-O and was just like, "What is, what is this?" And it's like a long beat of someone staring at food like they've never seen that food ever. And then he picks up the Jell-O and he tries to drink the Jell-O like he's never had Jell-O before.
What year was this?
This was 1966. So it was kind of the heyday of Jell-O.
Sure. Jell-O's pretty popular. Conceivably. You don't know. Maybe he was from another country.
Yeah, but you're going to see Jell-O and you're try to drink the Jell-O first?
How can you? One, Jell-O is basically drinkable. You just.
Also, these are guys that claim to be from government officials. And they're showing up.
Okay.
And they don't know what Jell-O is.
If you're growing up in, I feel like whatever state I'm going to say, it's going to be very rude. If you're growing up in Arizona.
How dare you?
And maybe you. And that's a slam on Alexis once again, because that's where she is from.
Yeah.
And you're from a really small town and they can't afford Jell-O. Maybe you don't know about it. Okay. So check your privilege at the door, my dude.
Whoa.
Okay.
We had Jell-O. I just
want to. That was the 90s.
I still think it's weird. And also there's occurrences where they've tried to eat something and they didn't know how to use a knife. So someone had to come over and cut their food for them. And then they try to eat it. Also, a lot of them don't have hair or eyebrows. That's a thing where a lot of the Men in Black don't have hair or eyebrows. They're actually, if you watch the show Fringe, they actually bring in the Men in Black. A lot of the observer characters from Fringe are based off these Men in Black where they don't have hair or eyebrows and they kind of just carry around briefcases and they look a little weird. Okay. Anyways.
It's called alopecia.
Yeah. It's called chemotherapy.
Every single
and it's
one
fine.
Of them? Or is it one guy that's making all the rounds?
Is the government just, you know, hiring people who might otherwise have a hard time getting hired? Because that's admirable.
Yeah.
Sure. Great. So there's an occurrence. My favorite stuff about the Men in Black is the fact that they're not quite human, that there's something about them that's just trying to like almost form their body, be there and then kind of walk away. Okay. I think it makes them because it's too easy to be like, oh, they're government officials. Now, one of the things when you look into Men in Black, I do believe that like a good number, maybe even like 80% of the Men in Black occurrences aren't true Men in Black occurrences because they can also just be government officials actually coming to like ask you questions.
And then people sort of mistake them
for these, the weird Men in Black that are also coming. Let's kind of both of them could be coming at the same time.
So sometimes it is a guy with alopecia.
Yes. So, no. If they have alopecia, there's something weird about it. Oh. Not that there's weird about all the alopecia people, but if they're Men in Black. I'm just saying.
You're digging yourself a hole here, buddy.
Most of our fans are riddled with
most of them do not have any sort of hair. Mm-mm. Listen, they live a wonderful life. And I just think that if there's multiple occurrences all over the globe of these people showing up and they all have alopecia, that's got to be, it's a uniform of some sort.
It's unusual. Hey, everybody, here comes an ad. Don't forget that we have merch. Oh, we have such cute merch. We got shirts. We got sweatshirts. We got mugs in all kinds of fun designs. We got a sexy little dollar bill that says follow the money, Hemphead Nation logo, and just the logo of the show, which is, it's so cute, designed by Ashlyn Anstey. So if you want to get some merch and show your lizard people pride, you can go to campfiremedia.threadless.com. campfiremedia.threadless.com, and you'll be supporting the show, and I'll give you a big old digital hug. Thanks, y'all.
Okay. All right. So let's get into the theories about maybe who the Men in Black are.
Okay. Well,
Other Men in Black occurrence? Because there's so many anecdotes.
A thing I just sort of want to throw in here is the first written reference that I found cited was in a 1956 book called They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers by ufologist Gray Barker, who sort of based that quote-unquote nonfiction book on the testimony of young Bender, the weirdo.
Bender, yeah.
Bless his sweetheart.
Who was talking about why he quit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's a character who may or may not come up later.
Okay.
All right, so who are these freaky fellas?
Okay, so there's a couple of theories. Let's start with the most normal and get to kind of the craziest. Mm-hmm. So one is they could be government officials. They could be simply government, shady government figures that are trying to cover up all the UFO activity and trying to keep UFOs underground for some reason.
What's their motivation in that case?
In that motivation, that might be linking them to the fact that there's been a long-standing work with the Greys and other aliens mm-hmm. to kind of build technology and work from them. Around this time, it was like, you know, we're talking 60s, 70s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and that's when like they're starting to become more technology starting to come into being. Maybe
got
to
win the space race.
Yeah, space race is happening. Also, like IBM is becoming a thing. Computers are becoming a thing. Where did that technology come from? Maybe it came from aliens. Maybe they're working with aliens, and they're trying to cover it up.
Interesting.
Another version of that, which is maybe not as crazy, but this is a popular theory too, and could be true if you're a real cynic, is they're simply UFOologists and they're people that are UFOologists that are trying to undermine other UFOologists, that they're showing up to people to try and don't tell anyone because I want this to be my scoop, or don't tell anyone because I'm writing my own book, don't tell anyone because of this. And then when the Men in Black start to come out, they start to dress as the Men in Black in order to scare more people and keep.
It's very Scooby-Doo.
This is the Scooby-Doo
and
theory.
And they're being intentionally weird. It's the Scooby-Doo.
Well, maybe they're not being intentionally weird. Maybe they're just a bunch of nerds that have alopecia.
Don't quite talk right or
and
walk
don't
right.
Don't quite move. Don't feel comfortable in their own skin. Doesn't make eye contact because they're nerds.
Oh, shit. This is a really interesting one. And this is kind of fun because Gray Barker, the guy who wrote They Knew Too Much About Flying Saucers, had a history of doing some pretty rude pranks to get scoops from other ufologists.
Right.
So he at one point made a fake. Wrote a pretend letter, quote unquote, from the government to a genuine UFO believer saying, continue your advocacy. But like fake government things. He made a fake UFO video with a fish stick. What is this?
A fishing line.
fish stick. But isn't it a fish stick? But guys,
it's a fishing pole.
Yeah, shut up though. My point is shut up.
Ah. Although when you really think about it, a fishing pole, it just means fish stick. It's just a synonym.
That is my feeling as well. Glad we agree.
Okay, so they bring out the fish stick.
Yeah, so he brings out the fish stick and makes a fake UFO video. So this theory has some interesting legs to me because Gray Barker himself was known to indulge in it.
Right. So I find this theory boring. So I like to discount this theory. And one of my favorite things about looking at this and how they represent, how they're struggling to take form, they could be aliens themselves and they're trying to cover their tracks. Mm-hmm. That's one theory, obviously.
Like in Men in Black when the guy is a tower of bugs in a man suit.
Yeah, it's interesting because when they talk about what the original Men in Black were like, it's kind of like that guy in the bugs. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's just one giant bug in a man suit.
Yes.
But kind of like that, like trying to disguise themselves as human, having a hard time at it. Mm-hmm. There's also something, do you guys know what a tulpa is?
No.
Okay, so a tulpa is something from Hindu mysticism.
Oh, a tulpa. I still don't know.
So it's basically a being that is created simply from the belief of
yes,
of it.
I do know this. Sorry.
Oh,
okay.
It's used in Jitterbug Perfume. They sort of talk about this. Perfume? It's a novel.
Oh.
Oh, I was going to say, like, is there a type of perfume that doesn't exist unless you believe it?
There's a pan.
This perfume smells like whatever you want. If
you believe hard enough.
Honestly, that's kind of the premise, but not really. Mm. But there's a character, Pan, who is like, I'm fading from existence because people have stopped believing in me and I only believe so long.
Well, like
I only
Peter
exist
Pan.
As long as I, yeah. people believe.
And that's the premise of American Gods, baby. One of the yeah. great novels.
Yeah, so American Gods is actually, that's a great example of tulpas. Mm-hmm. Where they use, it's basically, I always think, Angeline is a tulpa. Like, I actually think she's someone who
oh my God.
She only exists because she represents Los Angeles. She's everything about Los Angeles.
She's come our to life. Belief 100%. In the city. Fuck, I love that.
Yeah, she's,
if you are listening and you don't know what Angeline is.
Look up Angeline. She's also someone who's not very comfortable in her skin.
Yeah.
Is walking around.
Holy shit.
Trying to pretend to be what she thinks a human is, but
and
it's
like
all
whatever
because
we believe her to be or like need her to be, like
she's
glamour
basically created to become that.
Whoa.
So my favorite theory about the Men in Black is they're actually Atopas created from the paranoia and fear of the government. Like they actually do exist. They walk up, they're actually knocking on doors, they're talking to people, but they're feeding off of this fear and paranoia. And they only exist because people believe that the Men in Black exist. And they keep coming back,
shit.
Feeding off of this belief.
Cool.
That's my favorite theory about the Men in Black.
Yeah.
That there's something that is being forced. And one thing that I find interesting, and this is my weird theory, is that the Men in Black, after a while, as we get to know them, have become a joke. They're now Big Willie mm-hmm. and Tommy Lee Jones. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Josh Brolin, mm-hmm. and you know, and Chris Hemsworth.
Sometimes Rosario Dawson towards
and
the
Rosario
end of the
Dawson
film.
Rosario Dawson to the end of the film.
Well, she's and, like an alien princess queen, right?
Oh wait, maybe I'm.
But does she join? I forget how Rosario.
Oh no, it's the first movie where the lady joins them.
Right. Anyways,
regardless,
this is who we think of Men in Black now. Mm-hmm. In that case, if they are tulpas, they've lost their power in a lot of ways. They've lost the ability to form from fear and paranoia. Because now everyone sees them as a fictional item, as a joke, as a cool rap video on VH1 at night, or MTV,
sure.
depending on how cool
or
you are.
MTV.
Or MTV. So.
Or YouTube, baby.
I think after the 90s, the tulpa was trying to find a new form, and was trying to transform. And this is where I actually think. It tried, I don't think it succeeded, but I think it tried to come back into our consciousness as Slender Man. Because if you look
yeah,
at Slender...
I've been thinking that the whole time.
The way you originally describe the Men in Black, they're like formless, they almost don't have a face, they're pointed faces,
uh-huh.
they wear black suits, they appear out of nowhere, they don't quite walk as human... That's who we think of Slender Man now.
Just add a couple feet of height. Mm-hmm.
Couple feet of height, make it so he's specifically after children, then and maybe some tendrils that come out of his back.
Yeah.
It has
yeah.
like the Slender Man, the reason why he caught on is because he's vague enough that he kind of fulfills any sort of fear or want. There's any sort of like
right, that's the perfect boogeyman.
It's yeah. a perfect
like
boogeyman.
He's everywhere, but he's not really anywhere, and he's vague, and he—I don't know—he kind of looks like a guy, but not, but wrong somehow.
Yeah.
I don't want to not say this because I'm sure it's like eating like three people away, but it's very the silence from Doctor Who.
The three right. people that you're talking about are you, but yes,
do you know what I mean?
No. Like, the silence from Doctor Who is referencing Slender Man, but also the original Men in Black,
right? So
because
yeah.
they're people that the silence from Doctor Who are like creatures that if you don't look at them, then you forget that they exist,
yeah.
which is kind of what the Slender, what
so
the original Men in Black were doing.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay,
so
great.
I want to not acknowledge that it's in
yeah.
the world.
Please show some respect to the creators of this site. Which season was that?
7.
That was Matt.
Yeah, it was Matt Smith.
Matt
yeah.
Smith.
I think season 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
God, they've got good new villains. Weeping Angels? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Fuck a Dalek. I'm scared of the silence.
I'm getting silence. But if we look at the Slender, and especially since the Slender Man has gained roots, it started off as like a creepypasta. It started off as like a fictional thing, but has become like weirdly real to a lot of
kids. Are like killing each other
and
over
it's,
it.
And you can see where the paranoia is now and the fear now is more in in the internet rather than it is like originally during the 50s and 60s, people were starting to fear the government and be scared of the government. They weren't very sure what the government was going to be. So the Topa was taking the form of the government and coming out as like the shadowy figure. And now that it's like the fear of the internet and fear of what can happen to our kids, it's coming out of Slender Man and maybe more recently, like, what is it, the MoMA? MOA?
Oh, Momo.
Momo?
Yeah.
Yeah, Momo.
Tall, scary. Also.
Might be a new form of
kind of
same.
A racist form, but yeah. Sure.
Yeah, sure.
It was scary Japanese later.
Yeah. Well, like even like some descriptions of the Men in Black got a little racist at points, and sometimes they referred to them as Asian. No. It got weird.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, anyways.
Could that just be like white people being like, he looked weird.
He had weird like, colors.
Yeah. Taiwanese American. Please leave me alone.
So there's that theory. There's the Topa theory that I think is kind of changing and evolving. And I'm actually wondering if we're going to start to see something more like Men in Black these days. Like if the Topa theory is real, it could be something where it's going to come back, but as a shadowy governmenty sort of thing, because there's so much fear about the government coming back, like spawned by our own government, spawned by like,
but there's
Trump.
This sort of interesting conflicting belief where liberals are like, Trump is the Satan and the Antichrist and he'll bring us all to ruin. And then conservatives, you know, far side of them are sort of
seen
like, there's this deep state that Trump is trying to triumph over.
It's the deep state and like world order stuff.
Yeah.
And Build-A-Bear and like,
sure. What?
You know, Build-A-Bear, like who's in charge of everything, that
okay,
sort of stuff.
I'm not going to refight this fight with you, but like, you know, in another episode, we talked about Bilderberg Group.
Right.
And
whatever
Build-A-Bear.
You want to call it, how they're behind everything.
Sure.
And it's kind of getting covered.
All right, fine.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
Okay. So that could be an aspect of it.
Yeah.
Okay. So another view of maybe who the Men in Black are is if we look back to when they originally showed up, to Bender when he was talking about it.
Yeah.
They were floating. They had big, bright eyes when they approached them.
Mm-hmm.
And later they came back during the Mothman, like, whole shindig. They popped up and they were telling people, like, don't look at the Mothman. Forget about it.
So we're back
have
to Kiel's book about sort
Kiel's
of
book.
The Mothman.
So if you bring Bender and you bring Kiel in, mm-hmm. where they're both talking about how active the... So they're very serious about, like, the Men in Black are coming specifically for the Mothman. Now, one could consider that there may be the same beings as the Mothman, that maybe the Mothman is a rogue person from the Men in Black themselves. And
so whatever creatures are inhabiting.
Whatever creatures are inhabiting could be, like, large,
mm-hmm.
human-formed creatures,
mm-hmm.
or maybe slightly bigger than a human. Maybe they could be bear shaped, and they have eyes a lot like owls. So potentially the Men in Black could be owl bears, is what I'm saying. They could be coming, and they're going after the one rogue owl bear who's trying to warn humanity about their takeover and about what's there, while they're trying to keep the world order with the Build-A-Bear group and Bohemian Grove and trying to build that foundation.
Dave, you promised me.
I said
that this was not in the emails. You promised me.
I said I was here
was
to talk about Men in Black. And there's a lot of theories.
You said at the top of the episode, it's not going to be about the owlbear this time.
I said I'm here to talk about Men in Black. And I think that there's a lot of theories that come with the Men in Black. And one of them just happens to match something that's gaining a lot more proof is the owlbears.
Dave, you are obsessed.
If you even look at the Topas, if you consider maybe the...
Don't
maybe
drag
they're
the Topas
involved
into
this. I'm just saying the owlbears have been implanted in our subconscious through Dungeons & Dragons, through
Wait,
different
who,
like
who?
Things.
Who did this?
Who becomes the most powerful? Who's running the world right now? But nerds. And what have nerds played when they were kids, when they were teenagers, and no one asked them to dances? They played Dungeons and Dragons.
Okay,
what's
fine.
A main figure in Dungeons and Dragons but the owlbear? So I'm saying the owlbear is already, like, it's indoctrinated. It's in there. You look at Build-A-Bear and you look at Bohemian Grove. Owlbear, it's there. I'm sorry. I'm just saying what the facts are. I'm not leading to any conclusion. I'm just saying that all the signs are pointing towards more and more owlbear involvement.
I mean, all right. I will entertain this for the moment so that I can just sort of ask you some questions, okay? Because this theory, Dave, just keeps getting bigger and bigger, okay? First, it was just there's a weird deity being worshipped at the Bohemian Grove, right?
Right.
Next, it was it is the Bilderberg, a.k.a. Build-A-Bear, Build-An-Owl-Bear group influencing the New World Order and also the Mothman prophecies. And now...
And that the Mothman himself is also an owlbear.
Right, sure. And the Mothman
but
was
a rogue, kind of the good owlbear compared to the ones that are trying to take over. He's the one trying to warn us about the other owlbears.
And now all the other owlbears are taking...
Please,
I can't even say
seriously.
It because it's so crazy. What, Alexis?
Owlbear, Albert
Bender.
Wow.
I didn't mean to. It just...
Wow. Look how easily that happened.
You know, that doesn't prove anything. That doesn't prove anything.
Saying his accounting of floating figures with bright eyes could have just been he caught a little bit more glimpse into the owlbear itself.
All right. What do the owlbears have to gain from assuming human form and visiting UFO people?
What they're doing is basically testing the limits of their power and testing to see how much they can control people and how they can build this new world order. So in many of the cases, I also think many of the cases, the UFOs are just the Mothman trying to warn people about this, you know, as much as possible.
So he's up there in the sky doing floop-de-loops, looking like a spaceship.
Well, or he could be in an actual spaceship. Like, he doesn't necessarily, just because he has wings doesn't mean he can't fly a spaceship.
Yeah, but why would you? Why would you bother?
Because there's interdimensional travel. I mean, there's all sorts of things that you would actually need a ship for that you can't do on your own. Maybe you're cold, you know.
Sure. Whatever. Maybe you get cold in the sky.
Maybe you get, it's pretty cold in the sky. So it could be someone warning, or it could just be like, hey, let's do this. Maybe they're doing stuff that's controlling us in ways we don't know how. This could be like when the flashes happen, for instance. Mm-hmm. It could be a lost memory. It could be missing time. It could be something where they're implanting different genetic codes, information that
what
will
do
develop
with the
anything.
Genetic codes, you know, you got to be more specific than that.
I'm just saying, like, you don't know what they're doing or what they're building. I'm not saying I know exactly what is happening. I'm just saying something is happening. And I think a lot of the UFO encounters and a lot of the Men in Black encounters can be linked directly to this slow world order starting to form, controlled by the owlbears.
Okay, well, what's up with the Jell-O? Why wouldn't an owlbear that's been living on Earth all this time know what Jell-O is?
Because an owlbear isn't necessarily living on Earth all this time.
What are they doing?
They could be interdimensional beings themselves, which is, I think, what I've been trying to say from the beginning. They're just people that have been visiting and are taking control of our reality when they're living adjacent to our reality.
And, you know, on a more simple answer is that owls nor bears are very familiar with Jell-O.
Yeah. They eat mice, trout mice.
What's a trout mouse, since you guys
you
are so smart?
You know what a trout mouse
is. I don't know what a trout mouse is. That doesn't exist on Earth.
It's a genetically engineered mouse and trout put together.
It's delicious.
When did you eat a trout mouse, Alexis?
All the time.
Shut up.
I'm sorry, Alexis.
You didn't give me any?
I'm sorry.
What?
You're eating trout mouse?
Yeah.
I don't think a human can eat a trout mouse. I think you have to have at least some owlbear qualities if you're going to eating a trout mouse.
Hey, you can just pop them in your mouth. They made them small, so you can just...
I've always said you had big eyes and a narrow chin like a
no
owl.
No, you haven't.
Yeah, I've said that before. Well, I've said bug usually, but
I wouldn't just casually say you're eating trout mouse because that could say that I mean, you don't want to have what I'm trying to say is that they maybe are changing our genetic codes, and I'm not saying you are an owlbear, but you might have some owlbear DNA within you.
Okay.
Well, wait. Put the brakes on.
Yeah.
So the owlbears are not only taking us up into spaceships and probing us, controlling the world finances through the Build-A-Bear group, instituting a new world order. They're also messing with our DNA.
Well, that comes with the probing and stuff, too. I mean, that's just what else are you putting up there? If you're probing, you're putting something up there.
What, jizz? And I'm sorry to be vulgar, but my filters are down. Wow. I'm upset.
Well, for one, but also you could just be doing some high advanced CRISPR through the anus. I mean, that could anal simply
CRISPR.
Be
anal CRISPR. You think they're doing anal possible. CRISPR? You know, call Radiolab because I think they're going to have some things to say about that. You can't modify someone's DNA in every cell in the body through their butthole.
I mean, you can't with our technology, but maybe with their technology.
Somebody's never read the Xenogenesis series.
I have, though. Well. But that is an interesting point, and I do love this book. This is just, you're asking me to believe a lot. Do you know what I mean? Because I was with you.
I'm introducing a lot of theories. Now, this, I believe, seems to be the most sound, and it makes sense with, I think all the lines connect, all the dots connect in this. But, you know, if you want to believe that they're just like a bunch of nerds that are going door to door, I guess you can. But then maybe that's what they want you to believe.
Well, let me.
That's convenient truth, is what I'm saying.
Let me tell you what I think is happening. And, you know, I mean, you've made some really interesting points. I can't deny that. I'm starting to wonder how well I really know Alexis. But isn't there a rational, skeptical explanation, like I always give on this podcast, that the people who think they're being visited by the Men in Black? You know, they're people who maybe have like a little bit of a looser grasp on reality. They think they maybe were taken up by aliens because they might have some kind of, you know, a little kiss of schizophrenia, like sometimes you do. And
every
they're
single
confused.
One of them?
Well, maybe some of them, you know, government agents come and they're freaked out and they're like, he didn't seem, you know, it could be a combination of things. It's lots of things.
Mm-hmm.
Alopecia.
They all have schizophrenia and alopecia.
And alopecia? That's what you want to believe?
No, the people who are UFO sighters have schizophrenia, and the people who are visiting from, you
have
know, maybe
alopecia.
Just... Yeah.
So you think there's a war between the schizophrenic and the alopecians?
Yeah.
Is that what you think? Well, you think that makes more sense?
When you say like that, it sounds crazy.
Yes. I think it's makes a lot more sense that there's one world order being formed by interdimensional beings that happen to look like owlbears.
Why aren't there any pictures of the Men in Black?
Well, there's a couple of pictures of people dressed in black suits and black hats.
You mean just in the world?
In
there's
the world.
There's pictures of people
yes.
in black suits.
But there's also like,
are you talking about the Blues Brothers?
Yeah, but also, by the way, speaking of the Blues Brothers, you know who also had a Men in Black encounter? Mr. Dan Aykroyd.
Of course he did.
Mr. Dan Aykroyd, at the time he was filming a show and he stepped out into the street and was having a phone call with a Miss Britney Spears.
What and are you saying to me?
Yes.
What?
Britney Spears was trying to get onto SNL, so was trying to call Dan Aykroyd so he could use his SNL connections in order to get onto SNL.
This is a great story.
So, because I think he was hosting coming up or something like this, because it was way after he was done with SNL.
Yeah.
And as he was on the phone, an unmarked, like, black SUV. I don't know why it would be marked, but it drove up, and a man stood out of it and just stared at him for a good amount of time. And then when he looked away and looked back, both of those things were gone. And he thinks it was his Men in Black encounter.
And they were targeting Britney Spears?
I think they were keeping an eye on Dan Aykroyd because he's also a paranormal investigator. And as we all know, a Ghostbuster.
Yeah. That's a wild story.
That's a wild story. That was really fun. Do you think that the Blues Brothers have any kind of connection to your theory about the owlbears taking on human form?
I don't think the Blues Brothers do exactly, but I do think that I think if anything, Dan Aykroyd started to know about them afterwards. Maybe they're fans of the Blues Brothers.
The owlbears?
Yeah, they could be, but I don't think it's a direct connection. I don't think it's a direct connection is what I'm saying.
Okay, that's fine. Well, what about the Men in Black films? Are those sort of related to the quote-unquote owlbears in any way?
I think it's interesting that the Men in Black films came out and definitely we're no longer afraid of the Men in Black. We're now thinking that they're heroes. We're now thinking that there's some intergalactic force that are helping people. Mm-hmm. And also the force is made up of many different types of creatures that look like different beings. So maybe we can become more accepted that we found out there was a secret organization made out of beings that don't quite look human, but they're helping run things. We would think, hey, that sounds a lot like the Men in Black films. That's not so bad. Sure, they can do whatever they want because they're Big Willy.
They are Big Willy.
So the owlbears used Will Smith to further their... Did he know? Big Willy in on it?
He's a Scientologist now.
What, is he?
I think he is.
Yeah, I promise.
That sucks.
Well, there you go.
No. What's the connection to Scientology?
I'm just saying, there's a lot of dimensional shifting that goes on in Scientology. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it has a firm grasp, but I'm saying if someone is controlling Hollywood, it could be the owlbears, and they could be trying to control messages through different means. Okay. Who is always the wisest character in any cartoon that you ever watch?
The owl.
The owl. Who's the most lovable character in any cartoon that you ever watch?
Little pig.
No. Try again.
It's a big old lovable bear. You've seen the Jungle Book, Doofus.
Oh, that's true. Sorry.
And Winnie the Pooh, which has both.
Yeah,
an owl and a bear that is lovable and smart.
Yeah.
Cute pig, but the pig is scared. The pig is scared, much like our police and government. But who's there to help them out?
Boy.
But the wise old owl and the lovable bear.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you've given me a lot to think about. I'll say that.
Uh-huh.
Twoobas.
It's hard because I'm introducing a truth that people feel like is too much to bear. No pun intended.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something that is tough. I'm not saying, an owl and a bear are to do this. I'm saying they're beings that look a lot like an owl bear that are helping things. And I think we've gotten off track with all these lizard people stuff. I think the focus really should be on
owlbears. You think we should change the name of the podcast?
I mean, maybe it'll help, but I also don't want people to think owlbears is a joke like your lizard people.
So lizard people is silly to you because it's so obviously untrue.
Yeah.
Owlbear is blatantly real.
Yeah. I think they want it to be lizard people because lizards seem scarier to them, but I don't think it's as scary as you think it is. I think all the stuff with the eyes, that could come from an owl-eye interaction.
So wait. Do you think the lizard people thing is something that the owlbears cooked up? Is that what you're
saying?
Would
hide it, wouldn't it? Subterfuge.
Subterfuge. Hey, how's it going, ladies and gentlemen? I'm subterfuge. All right. Okay. I mean, Alexis, do you have any further questions for Dave about his owlbear theory?
No questions. You know what did come to mind?
Mm.
You ever read that short story by Joyce Carol Oates? Where Are You Going? Where Have You Been? With Arthur Friend.
Oh, he's the salesman?
He's trying to court this girl and he's the devil. She describes the way, slowly she realizes it because it's like, oh yeah, he walks weird in his boots because there are hooves in his boots.
Right.
And I did think of that.
There's also the sulfur, too.
And the sulfur. And
where brimstone. Does the yeah? What's the deal with the sulfur? Why would an owl bear?
I think that comes from trans-dimensional transportation. I think it's just an after effect of like. It's like when Nightcrawler. It's when Nightcrawler bamps in X-Men, as I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
There's always a scent of brimstone, but that's because he's traveling in between this and another dimension that has brimstone in it.
Hmm. I mean, you got an answer for everything, you know.
I mean,
yeah. How do you know so much about this, Dave?
It's a lot of research and a lot of time spent just like thinking and studying both owls and bears.
Hmm. I mean, are owls and bears related to the owl bears?
No, I mean, I think that's pure chance, they share some qualities. Okay, it's kind of like how if we knew about a kangaroo, we would maybe think that a kangaroo is a mutant deer or something. But really, they're two separate beings.
Okay,
so then, do you think owl bears have a proper name? Like that's just our slang name for them?
I think so. Like I'm saying this is like a short thing. I don't quite know what it is, though. That is a good point. But there's a lot about owlbears we don't know.
Of course.
I'm just scratching the surface here.
Yeah.
And Dave, I know you to be a good person. Like I believe you when you say you're just a guy who's trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, I am.
I believe that about you, which is what makes it so hard. This episode, once again, didn't go the way that I thought it was going to go, but I still need to, you know, give your conspiracy theory a rating. Your theory, I know it's insulting to you to call it a conspiracy theory.
Thank you.
So I need you to just sort of eat up a little bit of time on the mic. You can talk about anything you want. It doesn't have to be a conspiracy theory. It could be, you know, dance. It could be any other thing that's interesting to you while I sort of go into my own world and look through these notes.
Okay. So well,
just take up some time.
Oh my. I didn't anticipate this.
What have you been up to?
You know, just working a bunch if I can. You know, I'm writing something right now.
That's good.
Feel pretty good about dancing quite a bit. That's good. Had a video that became pretty big in, it looks like it's pretty big in Eastern Europe. That's where it's hitting the most people.
Where can people find this video?
They could go to davechild.com or they can go to my Twitter at @mrdavechild, and it's tagged at the pinned tweet. It's a music video I did with Ali Farben and Alira. It's called Fading, and it's doing pretty good. It got like 20 million views so far.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm back.
You hear that? So, well, you guys can't hear. There's no way they can hear it. But someone is doing donuts near my house, which is a really common thing.
Oh, that's cool. You're so lucky.
Thank you.
Oh, you're so lucky that people do bad car stuff near your house.
Wow. Love
it. That's fun.
And that with the toxic chemicals in the house.
You know what? Some people are not very lucky, but I am.
Do the listeners know that when you show up to your house, there are signs that say there are toxic chemicals in here and you will get cancer from it?
That's how I thin the herd of people that can come in.
Yeah. Great. You don't want any little scaredy babies.
You mean sterilize us.
Uh-huh. So, no babies are coming in here.
No babies are coming out of me. Uh-huh. Not anymore.
Shoot blanks, baby.
No, I think that there's just for sure lead paint.
Is that the sound of someone who has no sperm?
That's what coming sounds like.
Every month when I drop an egg, what would have been an egg from my ovaries into my uterus, it goes, cloud of dust.
And my diva cup is full of dust.
Yeah. Old dry dust. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, anyway. I mean, Dave, once again, this has been a real journey. Thank you for your honesty and being real with your views, even though I explicitly told you don't bring that owlbear shit back into this house.
Right.
So, of course, I break things up on a two scale. So want to believe and do believe. So want to believe that the men in black are, in fact, interdimensional owlbears impersonating humans in suits.
Mm-hmm.
Out of 10 all-male households, I'm going to give this one a 2. I don't want to believe.
Those are very unstable, though.
all male households. The number could change is what I'm saying. Okay. But in my heart, I don't want to believe this. A little part of me maybe wants to, because, you know, then it's not all just nerds being nerds. I hate nerds.
Yeah. I mean, everyone does.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, push them in a locker. Do believe, out of 10 imaginary perfumes, I have to give this one a 10. I mean, I don't want to, but
I'm glad the truth is starting somewhere.
It makes perfect sense. It all makes sense. I mean, it all just exactly. It's sort of like, yes, of course, like big glowing eyes and floating. Owlbears have wings, and we know this from the Mothman prophecies. Keel, right. he's tapped into all of this. He gets it.
Keel knows.
It is a deeply unfortunate truth.
Yeah. It sucks.
Take that, Al Gore.
Yeah. A deeply unfortunate truth. The title of his film. Yeah.
That's going to be my documentary about the owlbear epidemic. Yeah. Is a deeply unfortunate truth.
Well, I look forward to watching that because unfortunately, I am a believer. But I will leave it to the listener to decide where they fall with regards to the owlbears and with regards to Alexis having more than usual owlbear DNA.
It's just the snacks I'm eating. Chill.
It's okay. People with red hair, like I have red in my beard, so I have Neanderthal DNA.
Yeah.
Maybe you have some owlbear DNA.
Well, that's fine.
Just don't let it control you.
Yeah. Don't start trying to control the banks.
No?
And if someone tries to recruit you to be a part of this, try to, like, you know, don't be a vampire. Be Blade the Vampire Hunter.
I don't know what I'm saying? I'm going to be real, though. I don't see why I wouldn't join.
Alexis, oh my God. We'll talk about this after the episode. Okay. You're acting so crazy.
Okay.
This is just too much.
I'm crazy. Give her a I'm mic. Hysterical.
Give her a mic. Fine. I will give you a vibrator. Woo! You can have one.
I'm going to get some opium-filled tampons just for you.
This is a good day. Anyway, Dave, even though you are my enemy, you're also my very good friend. And
thank you.
Thank you for being on this podcast.
Thank you.
What do you want to plug other than this cool video?
Oh, there's that video. There's also a great video I made recently where I'm with a puppet. And you can look it up on davechild.com, or you can go to MR Dave Child on Twitter or Instagram, because my name's Dave Child.
Very good plug.
That's my little catchphrase.
I love it. And hey, everybody on Patreon, you're a freaking sweetie. Thanks for giving me money for nothing and chicks for free. Just kidding. Thanks for supporting the hard work that Alexis and I do, mostly Alexis, to make this podcast happen. We love you.
Oh, and keep following us on social media. We have a Twitter and an Instagram.
And the Instagram is fun.
It's fun. I gotta update it, but I think it's just Lizard People Pod or Lizard People Podcast. Whatever you type in, it'll get you there.
You'll find it. And it's fun. Okay. That's it.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Lizard People. I've been your host, Caitlin Hempstead. If you want to support the show, you can rate and review at Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sarah.
And I'm Beth.
And we host Everything is Rent, a podcast about the Broadway musical Rent.
Every week, we're joined by a hilarious guest to talk about one of Rent's 525,600 songs.
We'll answer questions like, is Rent the best musical of all time?
Has Rent aged well?
Are they not going to pay rent?
The answer to all these questions is yes.
That's Everything is Rent on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.